Okay, we're in Perek Tes and Hilchos Matnos Aniyim, and now we're going to actually get into, on the communal level, how tzedakah works. We're going to introduce ourselves to the Gabbai tzedakah, who we've seen before, and a lot of the halachas that apply to them. And here we go. Halacha Aleph. Kol ir sheish ba Yisrael chayav l'hamim mehem Gabbai tzedakah. So in every city, the Jewish people of the city must appoint a Gabbai tzedakah, someone who's in charge of, we also see, collecting and distributing charity. So these are people that are known and trustworthy. So they will go from every Friday. So basically their job is to collect money from people after they've been assessed for how much they can give. And they would give out money from Friday to Friday. And they would give enough money to, enough money or support for each poor person for 7 days' worth. This is called Bezua Nikra Kupa. So Kupa means this idea of the seven-day distribution. Halacha Beis. V'chei ma'amidin gabayin shalokim b'chol yom yom, mikol chatzar v'chatzar pasim ili ma'achal peros umos, mishu misal lefisha. The gabayim also on a daily basis would go to eat to people's houses, and they would collect bread or other types of food or even money from people who made, let's say, voluntary donations. So what they would do is they would, give each person enough, they would divide up the stuff among the poor. And they would give each poor person enough for their day. And that's called tamchoi. So again, kupa is basically the normative assessment that takes place for each individual, how much they must give for tzedakah, and it's collected by the gabayim. Tamchoi is more of the above and beyond, let's say, tzedakah that was given. Okay, halach gimel. Me'olam, the Rambam says, lo ra'inu v'lo shamanu b'kal yismi Yisrael. So the Rambam says, I've never heard of such a thing in a Jewish, in a city. She'en la'en kupa shal tzedakah, right? There's no such thing as a city that doesn't have a kupa. Aval tamchoi, but when it comes to tamchoi, which is that furtherance of the kupa, so to speak. Not every place had it. And today, what's the practice? So the practice today is that the gabai of the kupa collects every day, and he, divides it up, every Friday. Okay, so on fast days, okay, we give out food to the poor. The whole tainis she'achlu'am v'lanu, anytime that a tainis takes place and the Jewish people, the lo chalku tzedaklanim, and the people in that town did not give tzedakah to the poor for the tainis, hare ilu k'shov chedamim, they're like murderers. Alam nemar b'kabal tzedek yalim ba v'atam ratzim. V'med dvar amur, b'shelo nosulen apasa perashochlem hem apas k'gon t'marim b'anavim. This only applies when they not give them foods that are eaten together, meaning the bread and the fruits eating with them. But let's say they just delayed delivering, let's say, money or wheat, meaning not edible, okay, it's pre-food, then they're not considered murderers. So they're only considered murderers if they withheld actual edible food from the aniyim on the tainis. Okay, so as we'll see in the next few halachas, there's a lot of, the gabbai tzedakah had to be above any suspicion, and that's a challenging thing. So therefore, for example, when it comes to collecting for the kupa, two people had to collect for it. This comes from the Gemara. The idea is that you can't impose onto the, onto the tzibor. You can't express power with less than two. However, one person can keep an eye on the money. And we need three people to distribute it, like any situation of the laws of financial laws. That you give to each person what he needs for the week. When it comes to the extra donations, right? So those are collected by three people because there's no fixed amount, and it's distributed by three people. So in general, you see it's not done by one person alone. Now tamchoi nigve b'chol yom. So the donations for the tamchoi are collected every day. That kupa merv Shabbos erev Shabbos, but kupa day is Friday. That tamchoi lania olam, the tamchoi, which is the extra donations, go to all poor people. That kupa lania osayir levad, but the kupa only goes to the poor people of that city. Halacha zayin, rishayim bnei ha'ir lasos kupa tamchoi. Okay, so the people who live in a city have the right, right, to give their money to the kupa and the tamkoi, to make kupa money into tamkoi money, the tamkoi kupa, or to exchange it from tamkoi to kupa. And they can even take that money and use it for any other areas that are important for upkeep of the tzibor. Even if no condition or stipulation was made at the time that they donated the money or collected it. Right. So let's say the limit is in a city where there's a big time chacham, what do you call it? And he's the one who determines how these things are distributed for the poor. Then for sure, he's allowed to go ahead, since he's the Talmud Chacham, and distribute the money as needed for the people of the, for any other needs of the tzibur. Okay, it's very important that the Gabbai Tzedakah are not allowed to separate when they're in the public marketplace. Except, let's say briefly, if one of them needs to go to the gate quickly, another one has to go to a store. But in general, they always should be seen next to each other. Let's say a gabbai finds money in the public marketplace. Should not put it into his wallet or his pocket. He should put the money into the let's say he's carrying the bag of money for tzedakah, that everyone knows that's the tzedakah pushka. And then when he gets home in the privacy of his house, then he can take the money that he found, right? But since he's in public, it should be clear that the money he's taking, he's not taking it for himself. One second. Allah yud. Haya ha-gabai no shebe-chaveiro mana. So let's say the gabai is owed money by one of his fellow Jews, who paro b'shuk, right? And the guy pays it back in the marketplace. Lo yidem l'toki, so the gabai can't take that money and put it in his pocket. El esok ha nakishol saki. He should put it in the pushka. When he gets home, he could take it. So it's important that he should never count the money in pairs, okay? Rather, one coin by one coin, because of suspicion. If he counts it by twos, he might hide one, and we don't want people to think suspicious of the gabbai tzedakah. Gabbai tzedakah, she'in lahem aniyim, L'chalek. Let's say the gabbai tzedakah, he collects the money, but there are no poor people to distribute the money to. The tzarfen amos, dinarim l'acherim, he can convert over into different kinds of coins, aval lo la'atzma, but he can't do it, he shouldn't do that exchange himself. Gabbai tamchoi, the guy in charge of the tamchoi money, she'en lahem anim l'chalek, that he has no anim to distribute to. Mochel l'acherim, he can sell it to others, vein mochel la'atzma, but he shouldn't sell it himself. Vein mechashim tzedakah in gabbai tzedakah. It's interesting. So we don't really audit the gabbai tzedakah. Lo behekdesh yimakiz bar, and so too in hekdesh when it comes to the Beis Hamikdash accountants, we trust them. Shneimar ach lo yichashev osam kesef hanosin ayadam ki beemuna himosim. That's the key. They are really acting. We trust them. So the various things they're not allowed to do publicly are present, but at the same time, we don't go audit the gabbai tzedakah. Lachid beis mishi yashav b'medina shloshim yom. The guy lives in a city for 30 days. So we force him to donate money to the, or give money to the kupa, with like the people the rest of the city. Maybe he lived there for 3 months. Then he must also give to the tamkoi. If he's lived there for 6 months, he lives there for 6 months, we force him to contribute to the clothing fund. If he lives there for 9 months, we force him to give money for the burial fund for the poor, and all the other things necessary for burial. Allah Yud Gimel. Mishneishlo Mazon Shtei Sudos. If a person has enough food for 2 meals, Aslo Litol Min Tamchoi. It's also for him to take from the Tamchoi. This is by an Ani. So if an Ani has 2 meals worth in his possession, he can't take from the Tamchoi. Hayalo Mazon Arba Asrei Sudos. If he has 14 meals worth, which is basically 7 days worth of meals, Lo Litol Min Kupa. He can't take from the Kupa. If he has 200 zuz, right? Even though he's not doing investing or doing any business with them, or he has 50 zuz, he does do business. He's now, once he has that money in his hands, he can't take any more from the agricultural donations to the poor. If he has 200, let's say he has, say he's 199. Okay. Even though a million people gave the stock up, but he still has less than that 200 he could take. If he has money in his hand, but he owes it to someone else, or that money is really owed as for his wife's ketuba, he's a mutar likach. Then he can actually, even though he has more than 200, since that money ultimately doesn't belong to him, he could take from the from peya leket shecha, etc. Alagi dal ani shitzarech. Okay, let's say a poor person is in dire straits. Veishlo chatzer klei bayis. However, he has assets. Okay, he has, let's say, a chatzer or other assets in his house. Afilo hayolo klei kesef lechazav. Even he has gold and silver kalim. Imachayim rasolim kores beisa. We don't force him to sell his assets. Like that's klei tashmisha and the mutalikach. So even though he has assets that are worth a lot of money, since his, let's say, his liquidity is zero, he's considered like an ani could take. So the Rambam qualifies this by saying that it applies to kalim having to do with, let's say, eating, drinking, or sleeping. So let's say he has things that are, let's say, like a vase. Okay, then we force him to sell it. This only applies before the point where he's so poor that he has to rely on the people to sustain him. But after he collects staka, then he has to now sell these kalim. So this idea of not selling his kalim, his assets, only applies if he hasn't actually taken money from the kupa. But once he's taken money, now he's, so to speak, not technically in the ani state anymore, and then he'd have to sell these things in order to go back to the kupa again. Let's say a person's wealthy and he travels to a city, and he uses up all his money on the road, and due to his spending all his money, he has nothing to eat. So he is considered an ani in all regards and can take what's needed. When he goes back home, he doesn't have to repay what he took, because as long as he was ani for that period of time, he could take all the stuff. What's this like? It's no different than, let's say, a poor person who became wealthy. A poor person who becomes wealthy doesn't have to repay back all the leket shecha peya that he took. Let's say a person has homes, okay, and fields and vineyards. If he sold them, you know, assuming he's going to be poor here, but if he sold them during the rainy season, you'd get less money. But if he waited until the summer, he would actually make what they're worth. We don't force him to sell him. He's allowed to go ahead and eat meiser ani up to half the value of his property. So we don't force him to sell the land to provide for himself at the time when he wouldn't make as much money from it. Let's say it's a real estate boom and people are overpaying for real estate. But he's, unfortunately, a situation where people only buy his property at a discount. Because they see that he's pressed. They see he's poor. So what do? The people could afford a lot more, but they force him. They force him to lower his price. We don't force him to sell his property, his house. He can benefit from ad until he can sell his property for what it's actually worth. And everyone will know that he's not being pressed to sell. Right. So let's say an ani comes along, and he collects what he needs, the hosiro, right? But then he takes more. Let's say he took X. It turns out he didn't need X, right? It was too much. He keeps the extra. Any extra money for aniyim goes to aniyim. Any money, extra money that goes towards redeeming captives is still stays for that. Same with the person who was captured. Mosar mesim mesim. Any extra money donated for kuros mesim is kept for mesim. Mosar mesim yosha. Any money that's collected for the mesim himself, any extra goes to his inheritors. Finally, lach yates. Ani shenasa pruta latamchoy or pruta lakupa mekalem menu. When a poor person gives a pruta to a tamchoy or to the kupa, we accept it. But if he didn't, we don't force him to give it. Let's say he was given new clothing, right? And let's say he returns back his old clothing. We accept that. But if he didn't, we don't require him to give it. Okay, that ends Parak Tes, and we'll pick up the final Parak of Hilchos Matnos Aniyim tomorrow, Parak Yud.